Is that okay? Yeah, good. Yeah. God is doing something in me, but it all goes back to the cross, you see. God can only do something in you if you recognize the blood of Jesus Christ. You recognize his sacrifice on the cross. And this morning, as part of our series, we're just going to briefly look at communion. And actually, I'm grateful to have the opportunity, because last Sunday I didn't. Last Sunday evening, I was due to be speaking this word, and the Holy Spirit moved in such a way that I didn't get to. Well, I got to speak for about 20 seconds, I think, something like that. And that was it. The Holy Spirit moved. And I'm trusting that as we come around the communion table today, which we're going to do shortly, that the Holy Spirit will move in you and me and will unearth things that need to be unearthed and will break through things. The blood of Jesus breaks through and will break through things in your life and my life that need to be broken through, because man can't do that. There's no other name but Jesus who can do these things for us and can set us free from those things that afflict us and cause us not to live in freedom and cause us not to live the life that Jesus wants us to live. And so we're going to have a look this morning at communion and what communion means. You'll have to excuse me, I've got a new Bible. So it's a purple one. And it's good. And I gave one of these away, actually, this week. And I do keep asking and saying to you, try and bring your Bibles with you to church. And this is a New International Version. I like the New International Version. I've tried the Message. I've tried the King James. I've tried various Bibles. I've tried the Interpret It Myself Bible. Doesn't work, that one, by the way. And so we're going to, it's, in some ways, it's going to be quite, I'm trying to think of the words to use this morning. I just want us to be at peace. I want us to be at rest. I want us just to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, because it's not going to be shouty. It's going to be quite balanced, I think, this morning. But by the time we've finished, I hope that when we come to communion, that your heart is in a great place. Because we should celebrate communion. Yeah. That's what we do. It's a celebration. Yeah. So the word communion, then, it comes from the Greek word koinonia. I think I've said that right. And it's the fellowship of believers by which they remember together the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, what I want to do is I just want to open up a little bit as to the why. Why do we do it? Why do we take communion? What's the point? Who can take communion? Now, that's a bit of a tricky one, that one, isn't it? When should we take communion? And what should we learn? What should we learn this morning before we take the emblems? Well, the why, then. So let's start off with the why. Well, the first reason is because Jesus commands us to. Jesus tells us that we should... excuse me, I got a frog in my throat this morning. Jesus tells us that we should do it in remembrance of him. I don't know what your memory is like. Mine is absolutely woeful. I can remember things. I can remember things going back to when I was 5 years of age. And I can remember significant things in my life. So maybe I can remember when I got married. I can remember when I had my two children. I can remember when my two grandchildren were born. I can remember when I was saved. But I'm hopeless at remembering things yesterday. I don't think that's an insomnia statement. I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you, but probably Jeff, yeah. Oh, Jeff had sent it from yesterday. But it's strange, really, how the stuff that you can remember from long time ago, and yet I'm terrible at remembering things from just a short time ago. But the one thing I'm great at remembering, and it's only because of Jesus, is Jesus. Every single day, I remember Jesus. And I have the remembrance of Jesus in my soul and in my heart. And so every single day I wake And sometimes during the day, I will praise him in worship. This morning when I was washing up, I had the iPad on and I was listening to some great stuff there. And I'll read my Bible and I'll pray. And every single day of my life, I remember Jesus. Now, that's not because I'm good or any better than anybody else. That's because the Lord has been gracious to me to allow me to remember him every single day so that I remember what he's done for me. And if you're not in that place where you remember Jesus every day, and you're only remembering when you come to church, or maybe when you're going to a wedding, some of us went to a wedding yesterday, to Nat's wedding, or maybe it's a funeral, or a christening, or whatever the case may be, if you're only remembering Jesus then, you need to ask God to cause you to remember him every single day. And let his Holy Spirit remind you of who he is every day. So we do it because Jesus said, do it in remembrance of me. Why wouldn't you remember what he's done? Why wouldn't you remember the sacrifice? It's crazy to think that we can remember things that are really of no consequence to our lives, and yet sometimes we forget this Saviour who went to the cross for you and me, and we forget. Why wouldn't you remember him? Why wouldn't I remember him? It says, you have no rival, you have no equal, and yet sometimes we're remembering the rival. Who? Now this is a real tricky one. This is the who should take communion. Thanks, Jeff. I've had a discussion with a number of people about this over the last couple of weeks, but primarily because in the last couple of years, whilst I guess in many ways my thoughts on the theology of it have changed slightly, I still understand the church's, pretty much the church's stance on who should take communion. Now, most churches will tell you that if you love the Lord and you are a Christian, you are able to take communion. Of course, that's right. I'm just going to add to that, and I don't want to open up the debate this morning because it's not the right time to do that. But I do believe that if you are seeking God, and you have a genuine heart to find your Creator, I believe you're okay to take communion. That's me. Now, you may come and have a theological debate with me and say, no, you're wrong, and that's okay, because I'll leave it between me and God, and you leave it between you and God as well. And there are other things going on there as well, whereby we could probably have a chat, but it's just what God's doing in me and awakening in me regarding the scriptures as to who. But certainly, you are most welcome this morning if you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. You are saved. You are more than welcome to join us as we remember his death. When? Well, when? I know people in this church who take communion every single day. Every single day. And like the early church, they break bread in their homes. And that's fantastic. I think that's a brilliant thing to do. And I think that those people believe that by breaking the bread and taking the cup every single day in their homes, that it strengthens them for the day ahead. And I believe that's right. And so I would certainly recommend that if you have the opportunity, take bread in your homes. Remember the Lord between you. It's actually beautiful to sit down with your spouse and take the bread and the wine together. It's a joyful thing. It's a lovely thing to do. So if you get the opportunity, I would recommend it. So when? Well, we do it in church. We do it here every couple of months, I guess. There's no requirement in Scripture as to when you should do it. It doesn't say you should do it every day or every week or every month, but as often as you take this bread and drink this wine, you do it in remembrance of me. So it says, as often as you do it. You might want it, and in our life group, we try and take the bread and the wine reasonably regular. So we do it in life group. Great place to do it. Fantastic place to do it when you've got a group of 8 or 9 people that's in our life group, taking it together, discussing it, having a discussion about it, learning from each other. It's fantastic. And so if you can do it in your life group leaders, I really do encourage you to get on board with that. And the scripture says the other reason why we should do it is because we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So what we are doing is that there is a proclamation as you are taking the emblems this morning, God's death until he comes again. And that's significant. That's really significant. Because we're doing it as a body of Christ. We've spoken this morning about shouting out. We've spoken this morning about lifting the praises of God. And proclamation is a great thing. Proclamation of whatever it might be, which will edify and help somebody else, is fantastic. And Jesus hears our proclamation that we proclaim his death until he comes again. He hears the shouts of the church as we're doing that this morning. Hiya. Bless you. Very good. I can go lower if you want. No? Hiya. Is that good? Fantastic. Let's read then, brothers and sisters. Let's read from the book of Corinthians. Let's see what scripture tells us about communion. There's some harsh stuff in here. But it's good. It's good stuff. And it reminds us of what Paul the Apostle, writing to the Corinthian church, wants to speak to them. And he didn't have a very good word for them, Paul the Apostle, when he was writing to the Corinthian church. What tended to happen is there was quite a lot of rich people in the Corinthian church and quite a lot of poor people. And in those days, they didn't take the communion like we do now, where we'll take it reasonably quickly, the bread and the wine. They would have a meal and they would take the bread first, then they would have the meal, and then they would take the cup afterwards. And what was happening is that these rich people would go ahead of the poor people, and actually the scripture tells us that they got drunk. They got drunk at the communion feast. And then the poor people will come along, and it'll be too late. Some really harsh words Paul has for the church, and we must adhere and we must listen to these words for our benefit as a church, because Jesus Christ's words are the same yesterday, today and forever. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I won't read on covering the head in worship, that's for another day. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that you come together as a church. There are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there has to be differences among you to show which of you has God's approval. Wow. Wow. Are you sure of your salvation this morning? Have you got God's approval? I'm very quiet in here. So then when you come together, is it not the Lord's supper you eat? For when you are eating, one person remains hungry and another one gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? We could do a preach for about 3 hours on that one verse alone. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is why many amongst you are weak and ill, and a number of you have fallen asleep." That's not napping, that's death. "But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further instructions." For those of you who were here last week, I'm just going to share what I shared last week for about 30 seconds, I think it was, something like that. I like Frey Bentos. Anybody else here like Frey Bentos? Oh, you cannot beat Frey Bentos. And the thing about Frey, and I like the whole lot, to be honest with you, as well. It's kind of just a great thing to have on its own, the whole lot. Sorry? You don't know what... Frey Bentos is... Oh, awful. Oh, come on. Has everybody heard of Frey Bentos? Yeah, brilliant. Does anybody here like Frey Bentos? Yeah, come on, Frey Bentos, you can't beat it. Frey Bentos is like a flaky pastry with some kind of meat and gravy underneath it, which comes in a tin, which is actually the most, dangerous tin you've ever come across in your life. But it's absolutely gorgeous. If you can get into it without doing any harm to yourself, it's brilliant, it's really good stuff. And I think it was about 12, 18 months ago, my wife was on holiday and she left me to my own devices, which is never a good thing, to be perfectly honest with you, because it's either Frey Bentos or cheese on toast, usually one or the other. It's not normally anything much more than that, or maybe cornflakes or Weetabix and maybe a round of toast. So I decided this evening to have Frey Bentos for my tea. So I got the tin opener, and this tin opener was the worst tin opener you could ever come across in your life. It was awful. So I'm determined to get this tin of Frey Bentos open. So I'm turning the tin opener round and round and round, and using all my strength. And I don't know if you know about Frey Bentos, but it's very jagged when you start to get the edge of the lid off it. And I'm going like that, and next minute I slipped, and the top of the tin went into my wrist. And what happened then? What happened then is that this blood from my wrist just started splurting all over the place. It was that bad. You could see the ball of where the wrist is attached to the hand. And so, of course, and my daughter was there, and she was screaming, etc., etc. And I put some ice on it and some cold water, and went to the hospital and got it stitched. You can still see the scar there. It's quite amazing, actually, to look inside your body. It's quite. No, it is. You don't usually get a chance to look inside your body, do you? What's there? You know what I mean? So to be looking at this ball, Dan, I'm thinking, it's not even hurting, by the way. This is hurting because I think I was just running on adrenaline or something. And so I goes to the hospital, get it stitched up, etc., etc. And this blood was poured out. Poured all over the kitchen. Poured all over me, poured all over me daughter. But of course, the gushing of this blood didn't have any benefit to me in any way, shape or form. Although it was pouring out, the only benefit to me, if there was any benefit, is that when I got back from the hospital, I finished the Frey Bentos off. That was the only benefit. Oh, I don't leave food. Don't leave food. I've lost my train of thought now with Frey Bentos. Where was he going with that? Yeah, that's what I was doing. So my blood that came out of me that day, and it did come out, it was poured out because of my stupidness. Jesus' blood was poured out for my foolishness. It was poured out for my uncleanliness. It was poured out for my proudness. It was poured out for my impurity. It was poured out for every single darkness that was within me. His blood was poured out and is far more precious than any other blood. Any other blood that you will ever come across. You see, Jesus said, "This is my body which is for you." This is my body which is for you. And this is why I get emotional. Because when I think about Jesus and on that cross, and some of us will know this, some of us may not. There may be some new people in here who don't know. And welcome to those who are new, by the way. If you're in here for the first time, you are royally, royally welcomed. And I trust and pray that you find your home. So great to have you with us. But Jesus' body, you think about his body and how it was treated. His belief that he was marred, that he was beaten, that he was criticized. What are we like when we get criticized? We don't like criticism, do we? And yet every time that they kept doing something, he persevered. He carried on. He knew where he was going. Whip, I'm carrying on. Gouge, I'm carrying on. Nails, I'm carrying on. I'm carrying on. His body was broken for you. You may have somebody in your life. I have my father, who I look very much to. He's a very godly man. And I love him to pieces. And he has done so much for me in my life. But would he die for me? Would he take my place? Because this is what Jesus did for you. He died for you. He died for me. So what does communion look like in terms of Jesus' sacrifice for us? Well, there's a new and living way. There's a new and living way. You don't have to be your old self anymore. You don't have to live your old way of life anymore. Why would you want to live a life which is full of sin? A life that is full of whatever that might be, hatred, discord, drunkenness, sexual immorality, whatever it might be. Why would you want to live that life which is temporary when Jesus is offering you, because of the cross, a new and living way, a new life? What's the benefit of that old life when you've got all these benefits of being in relationship with Jesus Christ? This man who says, I have done it for you. My grace is sufficient for you. The world is not sufficient for you. I am your sufficiency. You see, this blood that was shed at the cross for you. Forget everybody else, brothers and sisters in the room this morning. It's you and God. Forget who sat near you. Forget what Sunday dinner you've got going on now. Focus now on him, because it's for you and him alone this morning. And this blood that I'm talking about, that we're going to drink the emblems of, it cleanses. It washes us clean. It takes away our filthy rags and our filthy stains and our past life. It restores. It heals. Jesus went to the cross to forgive. To forgive every single person who would come to him with a repentant heart. To say, you know what? I'm not living my life anymore my way. I've done it. And it ain't worked. And I've seen people in that church, and I've seen something shining in their faces. And what they've got, I want it. Well, I'll tell you what they've got. They've had an encounter with Jesus Christ because of the cross. That's what they've done. And that's why you're seeing something different in them. And so you get this new life. You get a new focus. You build new relationships. Some of them old relationships have got to go. Some of those habits have got to go. Because God's given you something new. The blood of Jesus bought breakthrough for you and me. The bread of Jesus, the body of Jesus, bought breakthrough for you and me. On that cross, you know, there's six things I want you to remember as we're going to go into communion. Six things. You think about these six things. Number one, he was in conscious suffering. It's not like you go to the hospital now and you get knocked out for an operation. No. He was in conscious suffering. What was going on? He was in blackest darkness. Dark. It was dark. It wasn't normal. He was surrounded by demonic powers. On that cross, he was surrounded by demonic powers. But he carried on. He carried on. Carried on for you and me. And he broke those demonic powers, and he's won. I think I've just deleted what I was about to say. On that cross, he was bearing your and my sin. On that cross, he was separated from God. Is that not enough, brothers and sisters, this morning? Get it into your spirit that we must be obedient, and we must be grateful, and we must be thankful. Before we take the emblems this morning together, the scripture tells us, doesn't it, in verse 28, and I want to give you an opportunity this morning to do this. Let a person examine himself. Let a person examine himself or herself. What does that mean? There are consequences to taking these emblems this morning. Unless you do this. And we're going to just have a few moments of silence, if that's okay, Wayne. And I just want you to speak to God. Actually, God wants you to speak to him as well. I want you to think, and this isn't trying to be condemnatory, but I want us to be in the right place that when we take, we're taking it with a right heart from a right place. Because look, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. None of us get it right. But there may be something in your spirit and in your heart that you need to sort out between you and God this morning. It may be that you hold a grudge against somebody. It may be that you want to get your vengeance back. It may be that you think you're right. It may be that you're struggling with a habit. It may be that you're struggling with your marriage. It may be that you're struggling with something that you've asked God for and he's not given you. It could be lots of things. But I want us just to take a few moments to be quiet before God, to be still. Be still and know that I am God. And if there's anything in your heart that you need to confess, repent of, do it now before we take the cup together. And so let's just take a few moments. Reinhard Bonnke, the famous German evangelist, he once preached a sermon which was based on paint the town red. Paint the town red. And what he meant by that is that he wanted to see a town saturated with the love of Jesus because of the cross. How good would it be to see Warrington saturated with the grace and the goodness because of the cross of Jesus? And so let's do communion together. Let's receive with grateful and glad hearts. Are we grateful, church? That doesn't sound very grateful to me. Are we grateful? Praise God.